Western Huddle for everything AFL, featuring the biggest names in WA and all the breaking news.
Big goal for the West Coast Eagles.
92.9 Triple M Perth.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the second episode of the Western Huddle. Tommy Atkinson with 40 over there. 40, how are you?
It's good to be back for a second episode, Tommy.
Yeah, it's always a relief when you're back for a second. There was some doubt. Did you get any feedback from episode one?
There was pats in the back, but a few more. There was a bit of direct feedback, I must admit. Yeah, so we'll adjust.
We'll adjust, yeah. I got some good feedback from a friend of mine who said, I enjoyed listening. Really good. Really enjoyed the other guy.
Yeah.
That was the feedback. Really enjoyed the other guy. What's his name? 40 or something?
Well, I got that. Who's the other bloke? What's the other bloke's name? I said, Tommy, a good fella. They said, yeah, no. Sounds like a goodish fella.
All right, let's get stuck into it. Of course, massive weekend of footy on the weekend, and COVID's thrown up some more hurdles. Well, or
TBC seems to be the buzzword in footy right now.
Yeah, because Adelaide's gone into a lockdown today, so who knows what's going to happen with games. They're right. Moving everywhere.
Because that Friday night game is scheduled at the moment as it stands, Port Adelaide versus Collingwood, Adelaide Oval, so that must be thrown in doubt now.
Yeah, they're in a 7-day lockdown, so who knows what's going to happen. But for our West Australian team, so let's go with them. So West Coast game on Saturday has been moved from 5:40 to 2:35.
Okay.
So 2:35 start against St Kilda on Saturday. Mm-hmm. At this stage, that is going ahead with crowds. St Kilda are here, and the Fremantle game has been moved to Sunday.
Yep.
And he's now on at 10:30 in the morning,
Sydney
Perth time. Yeah,
at Metricon.
So an early game for Freo fans.
That is as early as
Sunday.
It comes on a Sunday fixture.
So the reason they want to do that is now that Channel 7 aren't broadcasting all the games because of the Olympics, and Fox want to put all three games back to back because they'll all be Fox games. So they can run 10:30, a 1:30, and a 4:30 game Western time. And they can just run them out like a Sunday footy carnival kind of game.
That's impressive knowledge. How do you know that? Who's your inside that tells you that? Or is it just your experience behind the scenes knowing that's what
they're
doing?
A bit of both. I've spoken to some people, but also having worked on a bit of TV, a bit of radio stuff, and then knowing what's happening with the Olympics broadcast, you can kind of work it out. It was the same on the Sunday, just gone. Yeah. So I'm just stealing that info and relaying it through to this week. Let's get stuck into our teams this week. West Coast finally get a win after three losses. 42-point winners over the Adelaide Crows. First thing I want to cover is, did you see the end of the game?
In terms of, are you saying, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Nick Nat?
Oh, I didn't say that. Sorry. I thought you were talking about something bigger.
No, so Nick Nat, right? So they went to carry him off.
Yeah.
No one wanted to do it.
Yeah, I didn't say that. Well, I think
spiritual leader of the club, no, 200, no, no one.
In Nick Nat's defense and the West Coast team, I think the issue was there was another bloke getting chaired
Brody
off.
Brody Smith.
Yep, who had a whole lot of family and friends there, and it was sort of a dual.
Nah, bugger him.
It was a dual sort of chair off. I think he just felt awkward, didn't he?
Brody Smith compared to Nick Nat, please. So it ended up being Jack Darling and Liam Duggan.
Yeah.
So just a little of a pot for Oscar Allen.
Yeah.
Bailey Williams.
Put your head over it.
Yeah. Jeremy McGovern. Mm. Old Edwards. Any danger getting in there and helping out the big bloke?
Well, can you not wash over what is really the big story, I think, out of West Coast is I don't think they're out of the rut just yet. Yeah, okay, 42 points on paper.
Yeah.
Looks good, but you didn't kick a goal in the first quarter, mate.
Yeah, so we were slow at the start, and I was watching it and texting some mates going, oh, shit, what's going on here? They had the same old problems where they couldn't move the ball very well, and it was a really slow game, and Adelaide had a bit of pressure and stuff, and it wasn't until the start of that second quarter when they got their one wood out, which is their centre clearance, and they went bang, bang, bang. Nick got a few taps. They kicked three goals, and
your midfielders got dirty. Kelly, Shuey, five tackles apiece. West on debut, four tackles, and Darling even laying the five tackles. So you got dirty.
Yeah, so Tim Kelly covered the ground, the best I've seen him do in a long time. Mm. He's like, he moves like a gazelle when he covers the ground really well. It's like this effortless movement, you know. So he was really good. You mentioned Connor West. He's got the best haircut, I think, in the comp.
Not bad.
The best debut since Luke Edwards. It's not too far, but he was really good. Highest contested possession winner for the Eagles on the ground. West Perth kid taken in the mid-season draft. Mm. Looks an old school footballer. Mm. I reckon a bit of you about Connor West. Just, you know,
how so, mate?
Bit of a battler. Just gets in there, does the dirty stuff, does what needs to be done.
That is so far a stretch, mate. I'm not with you, Connor West. He looks like he can actually find the footy.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be. He's I reckon if you played footy, you wouldn't be an outside kind of smooth moving Stephen Hill. You'd be in and under, dirty.
Yeah, yeah, I was. When it rained, the coach knew just to move me up the ground a little bit because I could find it.
Yeah, so the midfielders finally got some ball, which was good. Mm. The small forwards stood up, though. So Cripps kicked 5, Ryan kicked 2, Petch kicked 2. That's a new look for them. Of course, JK didn't play with a calf injury. The news is he will play this weekend, so that's good. But Jamie Cripps, he's had a couple of outstanding games this year. Kicked 5, had 25 touches in the forward line. He was really, really good.
He was outstanding, but he was covering, he was patching up what was, again, another poor show in front of goal by Darling, by Oscar Allen. They've gone missing.
Yeah, so Jack Darling, if you look at the AFL ratings, my mate sent me this, he was the third ranked player on the ground.
Jack Darling.
Jack Darling. I thought they might have watched a different game than what I watched.
So they've gone with what, his tackle pressure and...
I don't know. I looked it up, pressure acts and all kind of things, and I couldn't have him in the top 10. But in Jack and Oscar's defence, they kicked the ball on their head a lot. Mm. There was a lot of just bombing it. There was nothing really kicked to advantage. They had a loose man in defence. They didn't really get a good look at it. But the small forward stood up. Liam Ryan in the second half, very encouraging because he's been pretty poor the past few weeks. So he turned it on in the second half when they made that change down back. But a couple of concerns for them. So Luke Shuey's the big one.
Yes.
Another calf injury. His 8th soft tissue injury in the past 12 months. Did both his calves in the preseason. The Eagles can say it's a nick, it's precaution, it's awareness. But there's no chance he plays this week.
Well, Zave said it on Triple M Breakfast this morning. Yeah. Awesome. Put him in the surgery.
Yeah.
Get him back into preseason for next season.
Well, I think, Zave wants to wipe him out for the season, but I don't think they'll do that. As long as there's still a chance of playing finals, I reckon they'll give him another go. But there was one passage of play when he finally showed a bit of speed. It was Tom Cole decided to take the game on. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom Cole. Where's that been for about 3 months? Little 45 kick inside to Shuey.
Yep.
Shuey got it. Little 1-2, burst inside, kicked it to a lace out to Liam Ryan, who marked the footy. So some much better signs for West Coast, but they played against probably a team of witches' hats in the second half. So it comes down to this week they play against, of course, the Saints.
But as I said, the Saints would be an acid test in themselves. They're a poor team. They've got poor form at stages.
Yeah.
They sit 11th. It's a game that West Coast, again, should be absolutely nailing if they think that there are any chance in the finals.
Percentage is key right now. And West Coast want to have any kind of run towards the top eight. It's all, but they've got zero chance of finishing the top six. The best they can finish is 7th or 8th and get a final. Have to travel for 4 weeks. They should smash St Kilda. Mm. They should absolutely wipe the floor with them.
But will they?
I don't know. I'm not that confident. I don't think you can take too much out of that Adelaide game, besides the fact the needle turned a fraction for some of their players and their midfield group especially, and some of their ball movement was a lot better from halfback. So some promising signs. Let's wait and see what happens with the Saints.
So if West Coast can take confidence out of that victory over in Adelaide, what does Fremantle do to their confidence after that? 69-point loss to Geelong at Optus Stadium at home on a Thursday, which feels like now a fair chunk away.
Dog shit.
First chunk of goals.
They were dog shit 40, your mob. I'm not even sure they rocked up. 3 goals. What happened? The big stage. The lights are on. Everyone's focusing on Freo. And they did what West Coast had done for a couple of weeks beforehand.
The alarming stat, and I don't always go to stats, but this just stuck out like dog's balls, was 2 inside 50s to 28 for the entire night.
Not for the night.
For the night. 2 to 28 inside 50s.
So Marks
inside 50.
Come on, the beast on the red Z learning stats there. That out.
Marks inside 50. Yeah. And Freo turned more balls over to Geelong inside their defensive 50. They created more marks for Geelong inside Geelong's 50.
They were horrible. It was like watching the under-12s play the state side. They just got beaten up and they looked small. Like Geelong players, I'm not sure. It might just be because they were running better than them. But guys like Menegola and Guthrie and Selwood and Dangerfield, Tui.
Radigalia.
Yeah, just some big bodies. And the Freo guys looked small and they were obliterated in the midfield. They were out-coached. Geelong played a spare man in defence.
Totally out-coached. And they had no ability to be able to stop Dangerfield and Tom Hawkins isolating themselves for large patches inside the forward 50 and kicking goals. Hawkins, 4-goal return. Dangerfield, 3-goal return. That's rookie sort of stuff, I reckon, from Freo's defense.
It was scary when I looked up, I think, in the first term, and Nathan Wilson was standing next to Paddy Dangerfield. And I was like, okay, Nathan, you're a running halfback, but
I'll call it
probably out of your depth.
Nathan Wilson, he's got no interest when it comes to playing for free other than just getting the ball and kicking along. He's not that keen on defending. And he's meant to be a marquee defender in this team. And all he wants to do is have the glory kick that just goes 60 metres out of defence. I reckon Wilson, mate, maybe just do one-on-one defending, mate, for the week. And then
worry about that later.
Do the fun stuff.
A couple of worrying signs for them. So a couple of injuries out of the game. So Sean Darcy has a medial strain.
Mm-hmm.
He goes down sometimes like a sack of potatoes and you think his career's over and then gets back up.
Yeah, he springs to life.
Yeah.
Callum Sinclair used to do that a few seasons ago.
Bit of Jack Darling, bit of Liam Ryan about him. Oscar Allen goes down. You think the season's over and then he's up and about, jumping around.
The difference between Sean Darcy then and Sean Darcy now, when he used to go down for those like a sack of spuds, he wouldn't get up. Now he does spring back and actually contribute. But I think he might be in a bit of doubt this week. The big men's stocks have taken a hit. Tabernar, still a test coming into this week. And who do we lose? Lob
as well. Peter Bell spoke and said, oh, Rory Lobb's a chance. He's on crutches after the game with an ankle. He's zero chance. Mm. So he won't play. The long break might help Sean Darcy get up. And, I mean, he was awesome again in a team that got belted. So he was their number one disposal getter for the game deep into the fourth quarter, and he didn't even play for a quarter.
Mm.
He's an absolute freak. I think he'd be in the top two, maybe all Australian. So for me, he's their best young player, and I wouldn't be taking any risks. If he's got any kind of soreness, I'd just be putting him in cotton wool. He is your best asset that you have at Fremantle, a superstar.
Speaking as a Freo supporter, I'm just waiting for the day that Peter Bell comes out and says, look, okay, we've seen the fixtures. We know the run home. It's time to put Fife into surgery, Sean Darcy into surgery.
I don't know.
Just look after what is our A graders and reload for another season. This season, it fills with the run home. We're just not going to get the luck. We're not going to finish eighth. We're going to finish ninth and tenth.
So as a Freo fan who's been starved of finals for a while, would you rather they finished eighth and limped into the finals, or they finished 11th and got a better draft pick?
I don't think they even finished 8th, even if they went for it.
Yeah.
Big run home. Big run home. They got Brisbane after Sydney this week.
The West Coast.
Then they've
Derby.
Got West Coast. And I'll hit you again. West Coast is poor. Put them in the Esky.
Okay. So you'd send Fife for surgery now. Darcy, sort him out. Lob, sort him out. Just put them all. The only reason I think you keep playing is if you want to keep Adam Chera and show some kind of fight towards the end of the season. And So a few problems for them. The other one I want to talk to you about is Rory Lobb. Before we get to David Mundy, there's a bit of talk about him being traded.
Yeah, and where does this come from?
So it first came from...
You know something here.
It first came from a story from the East. I think Cal Toomey wrote it from the AFL. Mm. I'll stand to be corrected. But so he's 28. He's got a year or two to go on his contract. Paid big, big money, $750 when he was brought across from the Giants.
And you know his link to Melbourne. Because there's a Melbourne club that's chasing him, isn't there?
I heard that his partner has a job in racing coming up in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be some interest for her to go over there.
Yeah.
And then we saw a story regarding Gold Coast have some interest in Rory Lobb as well. So where there's smoke, there's fire when these things come out. Now, the other interesting thing I thought was Peter Bell was on an interview during the week and he was asked, what kind of player do Freo need? And he said, looking for a ruck forward. Now, I would have thought if you had Darcy, Meek, Tabernar, Lobb, Dick, Tracy, you've probably got a fair decent kettle of fish stock when it comes to that kind of stock. So I'm probably moving the tea leaves and reading a bit into it, but you have to think there might be some movements there with someone who's taking up that amount of the salary cap, and maybe he's got some personal reasons he wants to go. But if you're Freo and you can sign him, the one thing you need Rory Lobb to do is be more consistent. He can play games this year when he kicks, like down in Tassie, when he looks like a superstar. And then the week after, he barely gets near it. So a lot of talent, Rory Lobb. But if you're going to move him, if you're thinking about moving him, you want to move him now while he has currency.
I was going to say, there's currency for Lobb.
Yeah.
Because he does have good numbers, but his numbers are relatively good against bottom eight teams.
The problem with moving him is if you move him for a draft pick in a top... You're probably not getting a top 10 pick, but if you get someone in the first round, key forwards normally take 3 or 4 years. So you're investing in another long-term project when you've got guys like Fife and that who are already at the back end of their career that they're probably not going to gel together. So you almost want someone that's 23, 24, and they're just not around to go and get them. So it's a very hard situation for them. And
just quickly, I just want to cover off on Rory Lobb one more thing. If he's leaving, what's the one reason he's leaving Fremantle, Tommy?
Well, it's not going to be money because he's not going to get what he wants. It's going to be personal or success.
Right.
Surely.
Well, I think.
What do you think?
I think it's in one of those camps. I'm not sure it's success. If Gold Coast is in the picture, I think it's personal.
Yeah. So you think if he's going to Gold Coast, it would be because they're going to offer him $1 squillion mm-hmm. and he wants a long-term deal and he wants to sign and get the money now. You think if he's going to Melbourne, there might be some other family things or some situations that.
I think there is. And I've got a little finger on the pulse on that one, Tommy. I might bring that one next episode.
Okay, cool. So there goes Rory Lobb. And just quickly, David Mundy, 350 games this weekend. I saw a stat that he's travelled 860,000 kilometres.
Yeah, that's
imagine the frequent flyer points.
What do they say? That's to the moon and back. That's how much travel that is.
Mrs. Mundy is just getting ready for when this travel ban's gone. She's going around the world in 80 days multiple times. First class.
Hey, one thing that you can bring to the table here on the podcast, Tommy, is you have an inside look at the Triple M commentary team each week. You sit in the box with Dennis Cometti, Embley, Xavier Ellis, Lachie Reed. It's a star-studded commentary box.
What do you want?
Well, I want to know, I want to bring get you to bring each week to our listeners
something.
An inside piece of information they don't even know.
It's not that exciting.
It's not?
Oh, I'll give you this week. I'll just give you the setup of how it works.
Yeah, okay. Lay it out for us.
So in total, there is 10 people each week to broadcast a game.
Who are the extras?
So front row, prime time, viewing seats. So Dennis sits down the front.
Is this right to left?
From right to left, you have the beast in the corner. So Mark Cometti doing the stats.
Yep.
He's in the corner, has his big computer. Mm. He gets in about 10 minutes before the bounce.
Okay, right. So he does his homework.
Yeah, comes in late, rocks up, sits down with his big protein shake. Next to him in the middle, position A1, right in front of the open window.
Had to be Den.
Is Den.
Yep, thought so.
Now, I've just got Den a little bit of new tech.
Right, because he's sounding good. What's this new tech?
So, Den, we now have for 10, we have screens in the in the call box, so you can see replays and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I got Den a new screen right in front of him.
Right.
A1, not a small one.
Yeah.
High definition.
Everything.
8K. All the fruit.
Yeah. KO Sports.
Yeah. But it's actually got a direct feed from the cameras.
Right.
So no delay.
Oh, okay. So you're saying he doesn't watch the game live in front of him?
He does.
He actually watches the game live on the screen.
He calls the game off the ground, but allows him to do a look down, so it's the far side pissing down with rain. You can't see it. He can look down, call a bit off the TV, and look up and call the rest of the game.
Do you reckon that's made him call about 20%, maybe 10%?
I think back in the day, he called a lot off TV.
Yep.
But I just want to make sure Den's happy because
he's sounding good.
Yeah. So Den's in the middle. Mm. Next to Den on the other side in the front row, Lachie Reed.
Right, okay.
The host, the captain of the ship.
So it's the front of the school bus is pretty tame.
Yeah, so it's all the good kids down there.
Right.
Then we move back a row, up a step, left to right. We have Embers.
Right.
He rocks up about an hour beforehand in his tracky pants with his one book of notes. He's got nothing written in. Next to him, Xavier.
Yep.
Rocks up for 2 minutes, goes and gets some hot chips and gravy.
Is he like the unofficial captain of that team in a way? Or is
he just not even close to it. So Xavier's there. He, hot chips and gravy man.
Right.
Xavier.
He'd have to get that from the general public. They don't serve that in the press box.
No, it's in the press box. We get sandwiches and party pies and sausage rolls.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to wait for those. Gets the hot chips and a cup of gravy to Xavier before we start. And then I sit next to that, right, on the second row.
Not a bad seat.
Not bad seat. Good viewing.
Mm.
And then behind me, we have the two.
That's six.
One row behind, you have the two engineers. All they are the technical nerds that make sure everything works, all the microphones and stuff.
They don't even know if it's a footy game.
Half the time, they're on their phones looking up crypto and stuff, right? So that's eight. Number nine, Tanya Armstrong, best in the business.
Technically not in the box, but
starts in the box, then goes down to the boundary for Bob Jane T-Marts. So that's the ninth person.
All right. Well, who could the tenth possibly?
The tenth person is in Melbourne. So, which is Leroy. He presses all the buttons in Melbourne and makes sure we go ahead.
Right.
So that is the 10 people that are involved. So I can talk to all of them individually.
Yep.
That's basically my role.
Right.
I watch the footy, talk to them, write stuff down, watch the footy.
And who's the most annoyingest person in that?
Oh, Embers.
Box? Embers.
Yep. Embers. Without even trying.
Would have thought so.
Without even trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a weirdo, isn't he?
He's a weirdo.
When he wanders around the office, he's a weirdo.
He's a very nice man. I love Embers, but gee, he's like a puppy dog.
Yep. Yep.
Just a, hey, ho, 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 hey, hey, what's going on? Hey, Tommy, hey, ho, ho. And he's just like, Jesus, mate, just calm down for a second.
Yeah, I get out the drawer as soon as you arrive. Hey, all right, one last thing shall we cover off on?
Yeah, what have you got?
Undisputed Undisputed? Is that the way to go with? Unproven.
Unproven Let's go theories. With
unproven footy theories.
Okay. Well, you start. I've got one. You go.
Okay. Well, I want to go with one that I think is something that no one quite picks up on. No one says.
Do I need to beep this out? This sounds dodgy.
No. I see it and there isn't a stat that can cover it.
Okay.
Liam Henry for the Freo Dockers, and I watch a lot of their games.
Will be a good player.
Will be a good player. Currently isn't a great player because one thing.
He's a kid.
His first touch in the AFL is the worst across the board. There's no player that's got a worse first touch.
No player in the AFL.
No, it's just so fumbly. Doesn't matter where it is. Mate, the pressure's on you, Liam. Every time you get the ball in the AFL, it's going to be hot. So get a bloke at the footy club each training and get some hot touches in your hand and start putting them away in the bread basket, mate. For crying out loud, that's my unproven theory. I think he's got the worst touch in the AFL. I went a bit hard there, but Tommy?
You know, I used to call Matt Taberner Iron Hands because every time he used to go to mark the ball, it'd hit his hands and bounce about 10 metres out. Now, he's gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
But the first 5 years of his career, every time, old Iron Hands.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, old Liam Henry's got the same case of that. What's yours?
I got a couple. I'll go quickly. So the first one comes from a friend of mine who rang me the other day and said, I got something to run past you.
Right.
He goes, my conspiracy theory or unproven theory is that Luke Shuey's retiring. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, did you see him after the Adelaide game?
What did he do?
Well, he walked out there with his calf injury and sort of got around all the Adelaide boys and said hello to him and sort of things. He reckons he might have been doing his John Farnham farewell lap.
So almost a thanks for your time.
Thanks for the memories. Yeah.
Right. Was he taking in the surroundings and like all the things that the cricketers do?
Yeah, he sat there for a while with his kids on the ground and just kind of imagined it. No, he was saying hi to Tex and Roy Sloan and all the young players and getting around them all.
His friendliness is almost a red flag in in this bloke's opinion.
Red flag. Could be a red flag. Triple M zone.
Does this bloke have a friendship with Luke Shuey?
Does not know him at all.
Doesn't know him. Okay. No. All right. So that is properly undisputed.
Just an undisputed theory. Unproven?
Unproven, probably.
My other one, which is the Eagles could be a better team without McGovern and Barris in it. There you go.
That's a big call.
Yeah.
That is a really big call.
This is because...
because they're not a good team without them in it.
Well, Barris is almost playing a bit of the McGovern role now.
Yeah.
They're both trying to take so many intercept marks that there's no one there just to thump the ball and spoil it.
Oh, you're the old school coach. Just put a fist in it.
Well, you need one of them to do that.
Yeah, okay.
Right? So we saw Edwards on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I know Adelaide's forward line wasn't that good, but we saw Edwards before that. He is all I'm going to do is just make sure you don't get the ball. That is my role. I reckon Tommy, superstar player, might be getting a bit too McGovern about him.
Yep.
And I reckon McGovern is getting a bit too McGovern. Okay. Are you with me?
I'm with you, but I will just sharpen you up by saying West Coast, hypothetically, in the grand final this season, right?
Yeah.
And McGovern and Barras, and one of those players drops out late. What are you thinking? Bugger or you beaut?
No, I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah, you wouldn't be happy. You want them both.
Unless you can find a way to play all three of them in your team.
All three?
Yeah, so you play Edwards at fullback, Barras on the next tall, then Gup plays as a floating defender. But I don't know. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, I shouldn't have just even tried to dispute your unproven theory.
It's an unproven theory. That's not bad, actually. I don't have a great sample size for it.
It's one to watch.
But let's see what happens this week because I don't think TB will be playing again. So they'll have the up four. They've got a Membry, King, Marshall or Ryder floating forward. So, let's see what happens this week against the Saints.
It's been fun, Tommy.
That wraps us up. Second episode of the Western Huddle. Of course, you can find us on the Triple M footy feed, Triple M breakfast over in Perth, 92.9 feed as well. We'll be back next week. Stay safe. Everyone listening over the eastern states, stay safe during COVID. And we'll see you next week.
All the best.